Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
How we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks so much for being with us. Coming up this hour, Forbes has released its latest numbers ranking the valuation of all professional sports franchises across the globe. And one team sticks out like a sore thumb, worth a lot of money despite being trash.
I am the epic fail.
We'll get to that coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. Did the Angels just clown Rob Manfred? I believe that Manfred calling out Mike Trout's inflexibility in being promoted was the worst moment of Manfred's early tenure as commissioner. This is supposed to be your jewel event. It's the All-Star Game, where it's all about happiness, celebration, the Midsummer's Classic. Baseball has center stage for a few days in the middle of the sports calendar. Unlike the playoffs, unlike the World Series, unlike spring training, this is the one time of the sports calendar baseball has everything to itself. And it was so perfectly ironic that it was hijacked by the Kawhi Leonard trade, because basketball has become that much more popular than baseball, especially in the national conversation. Look, locally, your baseball team does well. Regionally, your baseball team does well, because there's nothing else going on for 162 nights a year. And so your regional cable outlet, they have a lot of programming, they sell a lot of ad space, and they make a lot of money. Whether it's the YES Network for the Yankees or Fox Sports Ohio for the Reds, they're making a lot of money regionally on your team. And it's not like the value of the Major League Baseball franchises is going down. Baseball's fine and healthy, but as you know, if you're a Brewers fan in Wisconsin, you're all in on the Brewers. But people in Tampa, people in Phoenix, people in Seattle, they don't care about your team. They don't care about your players. And that's the difference between baseball and the NBA and the NFL, or football at large, including college football, is that seemingly everybody everywhere cares about the things going on in those sports. But baseball becomes a bunch of regional islands into themselves. And so you're looking at your baseball for the things that cross over. Bryce Harper is one of those. Whether you're in Boston or Indianapolis, you know Bryce Harper. And you probably got a take on Bryce Harper. You might love his swagger. You might love his confidence. You might think he's exciting for the game. Or you might think he's a brat, a millennial, a bad attitude, a me-first guy. But at least there is something there. But outside of that, baseball didn't have many of those. Mike Trout should be the guy that we all talk about. that we all care about. Mike Trout should be the guy. He's incredible offensively. Not only does he hit home runs, he hits for average. He's incredible defensively. He's consistent. He's a two-time MVP already. And he plays in Los Angeles. I know it's Anaheim and not the Dodgers, but it's still the second largest market media-wise in the United States. There is no reason why Mike Trout should not be across Major League Baseball, cutting through as something that we talk about. Now, I realize he's not a big personality. He's not great on social media, unlike Bryce Harper, so that might hurt him. But let's face it. It's not like Larry Bird was this unbelievably over-the-top gregarious character. He was withdrawn from the media. And David Stern found a way to market him. It's not like Barry Sanders was incredibly gregarious. It wasn't like he spoke a lot. He played in Detroit. They didn't ever win a playoff game. But the NFL certainly sold a lot of Barry Sanders jerseys. A lot of highlights of Barry all the time. But baseball didn't know how to do that. And Rob Manfred, during the Midsummer Classic, when this should be all about how great the players are, snaps out of insecurity and says basically, well, Mike Trout would be more popular if he was more willing to be more popular because we need some buy-in from the player. Why you would do that at that point in time is anybody's guess. It is such a miscalculation of epic proportions. It's just not the time or the place. And it does you no good because ain't nobody siding with old Rob Manfred over Mike Trout, who's never had a public misstep in his entire life. Team loves him. Teammates love him. Opponents love him. Everybody loves him. Nobody can't love him. He's amazing. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no logical sense. And the Angels came to the defense of their player, not surprisingly. And the Angels basically said, we'd rather have Mike Trout the way that he is than chasing popularity anyway. The Angels called Trout an exceptional ambassador for the game. Combined with his talent, his solid character creates a perfect role model for young people everywhere. Each year, Mike devotes a tremendous amount of his time and effort contributing to our Angels organization and marketing MLB. He continually chooses to participate in the community, visiting hospitals, schools, and countless other charities. One of Mike's traits that people admire most is his humility. His brand is built upon generously spending his time engaging with fans, both at home and on the road, while remaining a remarkable baseball player and teammate. In addition, Mike spends quality time as a husband, son, brother, uncle, and friend. The Angels followed it up with the mic drop. We applaud him for prioritizing his personal values over commercial self-promotion. That is rare in today's society and stands out as much as his extraordinary talent.
You win.
The Angels just hung a clown suit, clown nose, and giant red bozo shoes on their commissioner. How can you debate any of what the Angels just said? They're saying he's amazing in every way, shape, and form. And the fact that he has chosen not to do some promotion shows just how much greater he is in today's day and age of self-promotion. They're right. And they're right. Because you don't need Mike Trout to buy in to a magazine shoot, to speak at a corporate sponsor's. Mike Trout being Mike Trout is what's supposed to be enough to market, except you guys can't get that right. Where's the NFL films of Major League Baseball? Where is the old Twib notes this week in baseball? Where are the shows that would show the highlights to the nation of just how great Mike Trout is and behind the scenes? Where's the 24/7 documentary following Mike Trout around? Let me ask you this. Where are the crown jewel events that you could build around, like a Winter Classic for Mike Trout? You see, the problem is when Mike Trout plays in big series, it doesn't get national attention because baseball doesn't know how to build those events around him. You had Mike Trout playing Bryce Harper last year, the Angels playing the Nationals in L.A., and it happened midweek on regional TV in the middle of the night on a Wednesday. If you are baseball, every year what you say is, okay, TV contract, ESPN, TBS, whoever it is going to be, Fox Sports, Mike Trout is going to play in L.A. against the Dodgers on a Sunday afternoon, and you're broadcasting it on July the 11th. So that there's nothing else going on. And then he's going to go play at Yankee Stadium on a Saturday night and a Sunday afternoon, and you're going to broadcast it. All of these games. You're going to carry every Mike Trout at Yankee Stadium game. And we're going to make sure that he makes that cross-country trip to D.C. or Bryce Harper comes to L.A. to play, and we're going to put that on Fox in the middle of the day so that kids can watch. And you build the event. And you build him up and you promote him. And you have a Twitter profile that's Mike Trout Highlights. And you have an Instagram page that is just Mike Trout Highlights. And you just keep pushing to kids of the masses, look at how awesome this guy is. And you have a camera follow him around when he goes to a hospital. And when he talks to fans. You don't need him to come do your stuff. You build everything around him. And Rob Manfred is sensitive to this criticism because he knows that it's right. And that's why he's lashing out. Well, we need a better buy-in from Mike. No, you don't. Because you guys have botched this before. And let's face it. Mike Trout should be one of the five most famous athletes in this country. He should be right up there with LeBron James and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and Steph Curry. I know he doesn't have championships, and yes, that will help. But Dan Marino and Barry Sanders didn't either. Somehow everybody knew who they were. Everybody knows who Russell Westbrook is. Everybody. But we can't figure out a way to get more people to know how unbelievably awesome and humble and complete and great Mike Trout is. I'm glad the Angels said that. And I think Rob Manfred's a good commissioner so far. I've liked what he's been about. I've liked modernizing the game. I've liked new thoughts. I've liked where he's come from. But this was such a misstep. This was so stupid. Reminds me of getting into a fight at a charity cornhole tournament. This is stupid. This is stupid. This is stupid.
855-212-4CBS.
The phone number, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. You'll never guess who hit up me and Brad Heller on Twitter about his dessert coordinator status. A certain dessert company. Story coming up next, as well as the Forbes most valuable franchises. And one that sticks out like a sore thumb. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The PGP is out right now. Brand new one for this week. And we went inside the last two epic fails from Tuesday and Wednesday that were vintage epic fails, rewind epic fails, classic epic fails of Mraz and a bizarre, flawed logic in how he lives his life generally. Check it out, the PGP, available on iTunes and DA on CBS.com. By the way, a week from today, we will have your five-year anniversary special here on the DA Show. We're going to go back through the very best of the first 5 years We signed on the air in January 2013. We're 5.5 years in. We're boiling it all down, distilling it into the greatest episode of the DA show ever. If there is some overwhelming, overriding, breaking news that we have to talk about that day, we will, of course. But for the most part, it is just going to be an anniversary special, so that you get to hear all of the great moments that you may have heard live or just want to catch up on and get to hear the first time around. Ironically, that did not happen during the DA show, I don't believe. That was just an epic moment in CBS Sports radio history. It'll be so wet and so drippy, you will have no idea what just hit your earbuds.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Mango habanero. The dessert coordinator, Brad Heller, delivered his top five ice cream truck desserts. He put number five, bomb pop / firecracker. Number four, strawberry shortcake / chocolate eclair bars. Number three, the Choco Taco. Number two, the cartoon character pops with the gumball nose. There's multiple cartoon character pops. And number one, the Chipwich. Wouldn't you know it, Good Humor has tweeted at both of us. The Good Humor company, bringing joy and smiles with ice cream since 1920, tweeted, "How does one become the dessert coordinator?" And look, that's a pressure-packed question. This is like going before Congress on steroids. They are an authority on dessert. And now you've got to answer to them.
It's big time.
And I've got to really be careful in how I answer this question. Brad is the most passionate dessert fan I've ever been around, and certainly here on the show, and that includes Mraz. Every time I'm out with Heller, he is looking for the most exquisite dessert. He never stops thinking about dessert. He would want dessert, whether it's pie, ice cream, chocolate sundae, cake, cookies. He would eat that for every meal all the time. The man has a sweet tooth. The man has a problem. He wants chocolate and everything. So he's the dessert coordinator. But how do I tell Good Humor, who basically has created dessert, that he's the coordinator and they're not? That's a tough spot for me.
It's like a PR rep crafting out a response for an actor or an actress.
Philip tweets, "DA, what about the drumstick? I love the drumstick.
Very underrated.
In a lot of ways, it is the Choco Taco, but in cone form.
Not messy.
Very much so. It has nuts on top, the ice cream, a little chocolate drizzle, plus the cone. It's very good." Paul tweets, "Where's the Zeppeli, buddy?" Can't get a Zeppeli on an ice cream truck.
Those Zeppeli cones.
Paul tweets, "The candy center crunch ousts the chocolate eclair any day, but overall, love the list." James tweets, "Yeah, but DA, Heller forgot about the legendary Push Pops." Push Pops are solid. Didn't make his top five, but you're right. Reed Phillips Radio tweets, "The DC had a good list, but my list is more like number five, the basic ice cream sandwich. Number four, Push Ups. Number three, Choco Taco. Number two, the bubblegum eyes for characters. And number one, chocolate ice cream eaten with a wooden spoon." Just flat out chocolate ice cream.
The Dixie cups.
See, nobody is voting right now on the soft serve swirl. I don't know how that doesn't make the top five here. To me, that's really overlooking it. It's like when people talk about the greatest quarterbacks of all time and don't put Johnny Unitas in. You might not have watched him or had it in a long time, but doesn't mean that it's not a stalwart, crucial character in the whole grand scheme of things. I mean, don't you think a soft serve swirl's got to be in there in some way, shape, or form?
People are not going with the basics. They're leaving out the ice cream sandwich. They're leaving out the vanilla, chocolate, strawberry ice cream, per se, the soft serve. They're going with the flashy things. They're going with the Push Pops. They're going with
the Choco Tacos. Dixie Landan tweets, "DA, I don't have a take because when you live as far out in the country as I do, you don't get ice cream trucks. That's far out there. I would just drive into town today at around 4 o'clock and just search down that music. Hunt it down, baby. So Forbes has released its full list of the most valuable franchises in the world for team sports. Number one being the Dallas Cowboys, $4.8 billion. $4.8 billion is how much the Cowboys are worth. Manchester United of the English Premier League, $4.1 billion. Real Madrid and Barcelona, two Spanish soccer teams, at approximately $4 billion. And the New York Yankees also at $4 billion, coming in at number five. So one football, one baseball, and three soccer teams as your five most valuable teams in sports across the globe. The Patriots at number six. The Lakers are on the list. The New York Giants are on the list. The Golden State Warriors are on the list. Bayern Munich, another soccer team, on the list. The San Francisco 49ers, Dodgers, Rams, Cubs, Giants, Bears, Red Sox, Texans, all making the top 20. Those are mostly big market or legacy teams. A lot of football teams on that list in big cities, sometimes with a lot of history, legacy, and championships. There is one team, though, in the top 20 that doesn't feel like it makes a lot of sense. Number one, the Rams coming in at number 14 is very significant because the St. Louis Rams would not have been the 14th most valuable franchise in the world. The Rams, by simply moving zip codes from Missouri to Los Angeles, went from a top 50 franchise in the world, because basically top 60, all NFL franchises are in the top 60, Nate, and globally, went from a top 60 team to number 14 by moving zip codes. That's why there was the land grab for who gets to LA first. But there's one team on this list that really sticks out to me like a sore thumb. The most valuable NBA franchise, not the Lakers, not the Warriors, the New York Knicks. The Knicks come in at number seven on this list, $3.6 billion. Let me just once again go down the list of most valuable franchises. Dallas Cowboys, five Super Bowls, three of them since the 90s. Granted, they were all in the 90s, but Man U, the New York Yankees of the English Premier League, Real Madrid and Barcelona, two of the most successful currently league champions in Champions League and global soccer. The New York Yankees, winners of 27 world titles. The New England Patriots, winners of five Super Bowls over the last 15 years. And then the Knicks, who haven't won squat since the early 70s. The New York Knicks are the losingest franchise in the NBA since 2001. Not the Magic. Not the Suns, not the Nets. The worst franchise. The losingest franchise, the worst franchise of the NBA since 01 is the New York Knicks. And they're the seventh most valuable franchise in the world. Is this not the most amazing thing ever? They are falling upward. Somehow, it's like Mraz who keeps getting promoted. Somehow, they keep losing. Somehow, they're a complete disgrace. Somehow, they're a joke. They're the only major market team in the NBA that free agents don't want to go to. And somehow, they're worth more money than anybody else in the league. It's incredible. Mraz is promoting. Mraz is producing two midday shows, two of them, one on a nationally syndicated network and one on the largest, most popular, most listened to sports radio station in America in the number one market. He's also hosting shows. I don't know how this keeps happening. Mraz is the Knicks of radio. The Knicks are Mraz of the NBA. For no rhyme or reason, they keep falling upward. The Knicks have lost more basketball games since anybody since 2001, and they're worth more than any other team in the league. James Dolan eats paste for dinner. I mean, the guy is the biggest mockery buffoon of an owner. He is better at playing the harmonica in a bad garage band than he is at owning a professional franchise, and his team is worth $3.6 billion. He was gifted it from Daddy. Dad created Cablevision, and Daddy bought the Knicks, Rangers, and Madison Square Garden and gave Dopey Son the basketball team to run. And this is what you get, the worst franchise in the NBA over 20 years, and yet it's worth more than anything. I mean, he really is Billy Madison. James Dolan is Billy Madison. Does not even really have a grade school education, sits around the pool all day talking to his inflatable swan. Shampoo is better. Conditioner is better for your hair. And yet, lives in a mansion, has a $3.6 billion franchise at his disposal. It's incredible. You'll never see anything like it. Look at the other names on this list. The Cowboys, Man U, Madrid, Barcelona, the Yankees, the Patriots, the Lakers, the Giants, the Warriors. What doesn't fit? The Knicks. Which one of these is not like the other? The franchise that's the worst franchise has won one playoff series in basically 20 years. I mean, they're the Clippers of this generation. Back when the Clippers of the 80s and 90s were a dumpster fire. And yet they're the most valuable team in basketball. It's incredible. How could it be? How could this be? When we come back here on the show, Cut Line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio, and Brad Heller has your headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. This summer, if you're outside of your normal listening area, remember, you can always take us with you wherever you go, because you can get us with you on your phone by downloading the CBS Sports app, radio.com app, or Apple Music. Also, SiriusXM, if your local affiliate's not carrying us. If you're on the move, on the go, you can get us in SiriusXM 206. Tweets coming in, DA on CBS. Mark tweets, James Dolan's continuing to print money as awful as the Knicks have been under him, with a gif of James Dolan shooting two guns filled with dollar bills.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Think about what a disaster Dolan has been. Picking a fight with a legendary icon of the franchise, Charles Oakley, having him escorted by multiple security guards who had looked like they were taking down Godzilla, and then calling him out as being an alcoholic on the air on a radio station. This is the owner of the most profitable team in the league. This is what we're talking about with this guy. Lewis in Palmdale tweets, DA, please don't forget the number one ice cream truck treat of all time, weed.
In the front of the truck.
It's the other window. It's not where you get the ice cream from. Matt tweets, the Frosty from Wendy's is fantastic. Look, I am the biggest proponent of a Wendy's Frosty in the middle of the summer. In fact, it's 11:43 now, Eastern Standard Time. By the time I'm out of here, I might just go get one right on my way home. But We're talking about ice cream truck treats. And that's why I believe the soft serve cone or even the soft serve in a cup is not getting nearly enough run. The Frosty is a derivative, a descendant of the soft serve chocolate. It's better, but where is the love for the soft serve chocolate? Craig tweets, the Chip Witch is the Minnesota Twins of the ice cream snack world. Underrated, always there with good performance. Not always the best, but always delivers value. The dessert coordinator put Chip Witch as the number one ice cream truck treat of all time. Coach Depot tweets, Chip Witch has to be the number one. By the way, the best phone call I've heard on the show in a minute was that guy earlier in the show. Even with Mraz in Hawaii, his legacy still infiltrates the mothership. Hashtag gonna learn today. Hashtag it's science. Hashtag troll him out. I think you might hear that call again coming up in about 5 minutes. I think. Thomas tweets, DA, this all breaks my heart. The Knicks, I'm a Knicks fan forever. I've only seen two championships. I saw the only two championships, rather. Good for you, because there's a lot of people now on this earth that didn't. That's early 70s. We're now talking 45 years ago. It's been a long, long, dark, cold road. Craig tweets, the Warriors would sell for double the Knicks if both were for sale. No, I disagree. Look, the Knicks still are in the largest media market and still are a legacy franchise in the largest media market, and Madison Square Garden comes with it, and so the Knicks would sell for tons of money. Obviously, the Warriors right now are the hot commodity, and moving to San Francisco with a gleaming new building, they're big-time value, but they wouldn't sell for twice. It's the same conversation, and that's the thing about the valuation of these franchises. That might be the value, but you probably couldn't buy it for that. Like, the Yankees are worth $4 billion. But how much would the Steinbrenner family sell the Yankees for? $6 billion? All right, let's get to your story that did not make the cut. Here is your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Celtics sound like they've locked up Marcus Smart, a 4-year, $52 million deal. Wasn't a hot market for Marcus Smart out there this summer. His camp grumbled about the lack of attention he was getting, and yet they still got a deal done with the Celtics. This is a good amount for Marcus Smart because obviously he's a defensive guy. He brings a lot of grit to the table. He's certainly a type of player you'd love for depth, but he's not a superstar. He's not even a star. So for him to get $52 million is pretty good for the Marcus Smart camp. And I think, you know, with Marcus Smart, he's only 24 years old. He only averages about 10 points per game. He's not a good shooter at all, but he's tenacious. He's a defensive dynamo. And on that team, you have plenty of scoring, so you don't really need Marcus Smart to do more than that. I think the interesting thing is that Marcus Smart didn't find a market out there on this summer amongst the rest of the league because so many teams were resistant on spending any money this offseason. They're all loading up for next summer. There was not a big market for those mid-level guys. And I think a lot of teams screwed themselves a couple of years ago when the cap went up. They had all this space, the summer of Kevin Durant, and they all just started spending crazy money on everybody. And, you know, once Evan Turner became the highest paid player in NBA history, you knew that money had gone bonkers, and now there's been a market correction. This was a bad summer to be a free agent. Next summer will be great again. This summer was really bad, and the Celtics kind of took advantage of that.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Clemson has made Brent Venables the highest paid assistant coach in college football. Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports reported that Clemson extending Venables' contract, 5-year deal worth $11.6 million. So over the course of the life of the deal, $11.6 million is more money than any other assistant coach has ever made in college football. Dave Aranda for LSU, their DC, signed a $10 million deal. This is pretty amazing. I mean, we're at the point in time where assistant coaches, coordinators, not dessert coordinators, coordinators are earning $10 to $12 million over the life of their contract. And this is where it's really hard for college football to stare athletes in the face and say, there's no money. There's no money for you. We can't pay you. I realize it would break open the dam, and I realize it'd be really complicated, and I realize there's a lot of questions that go along with it. But when you're cutting checks for coordinators for $2 million a year over 5 years or more, you can't sit there and tell the kids that there's no money for you, but your entire coaching staff, yeah, they're all making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and your coordinator, not even your head coach is making $8 million a year or $5 million a year, and then your assistant coaches are going to make about $2 million a year. Hard to keep playing the we don't make enough money card, or we can't pay players, or you wouldn't want that.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line. So this whole controversy on the show, this whole debate started when we played yesterday an epic fail from a year ago where Mraz was arguing with the dessert coordinator, Brad Heller, about, and I guess myself, I got roped in as well, about sneaking one past the goalie, if you will, at a frozen yogurt place where, well, there's no logic to it. So anyway, we had this conversation about whether Mraz's theory was idiotic, which of course it is, and that led to another caller trying to defend the idea, and I think it made us doubly as stupid.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It's very easy, you know, to take up volume. Yeah.
I mean, right, it's and that's like where they get you. It's deceiving. They want you to let you know you think you have more than you do. No, no, no. You tap it down, let it sink down.
But don't you pay by weight anyway?
The empty space still weighs something.
What would the empty space weigh? It's just air.
Is that so?
Travis is in Virginia looking to clear up the Mraz frozen yogurt argument. Good morning, Trav.
DA made the statement that...
Well, I'm DA.
That's me!
I thought you made it saying the air did not have weight, except on the atomic level. Well, my understanding is if you have a tire that holds 35 pounds of air, that's 35 pounds per square inch.
Wow!
Okay, I don't want to get too dragged down into atomic level weights.
Genius.
Our point is, if you have a 10-ounce cup of ice cream and there is air in the middle of the ice cream, you're not getting charged for that space in the 10-ounce cup.
No, the weight of the ice pushes the air out. So at some point, there's no space because even that takes up space.
What?
Say that again.
Ice cream has weight. It takes up space.
Does ice cream weigh more than the air, or the air weigh more than the ice cream there?
Well, no, the ice cream weighs more than the air. Now, that depends upon how much ice cream you have.
So just a little bit of ice cream weighs the same as a little bit of air?
I don't know, because you have to weigh them.
Let's see how this goes. This is going to be a disaster.
Well, what's the lightest flavor of ice cream, would you say? Would it be vanilla or something? Like, what's the lightest?
The flavor doesn't make any difference at all.
Get a load of this!
So, a rocky road or a cookie dough, would that be a heavier density?
I guess so. I'm not that smart.
Get him out.
Get him out.
I know a little bit about science from high school, and that's what we were taught.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I hear you, bro. Okay, all right. Glad we're having this conversation on the show.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Justin tweets, everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to that conversation. Air doesn't weigh enough to make a difference compared to froyo. At this rate, the convo is going, the froyo will get a little wet, a little drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Luis in Palmdale called it. He said, DA, when I heard it, I couldn't wait to hear that conversation with Professor Fink as the epic fail.
I am the epic fail.
So the ice cream pushes out the air, is what you're saying. We're measuring it by weight. So, guys, no matter how much ice cream is in that cup, you ain't getting one over on the Froyo Company. I can just guarantee you that. Mraz thinks you are. You ain't. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Connor Green, executive producer of the DA Show today. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and co-host of Side A of the PGP this week. Download it now. Thanks to Dan Silverman stretching his legs as your Watch DA simulcast producer today. And Brad Heller on your headlines. We're back at it tomorrow. The mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.